Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our third episode of season two. As always, we are Chris and Gabby, and we're here to help normalize the conversation about race.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in again. As Kristen just said, we're Chris and Gabby. We drop our podcast about different conversations regarding race in the world, current events, and how to normalize this conversation. And we're just here trying to make the world a little bit better. We drop our podcast every Monday, too. Sorry, I want to be sure and say that. But yesterday was Monday, but it was President's Day. So even us podcasters need a little bit of a break and a vacay. So today, we're dropping the podcast.
Yes, and thank you all for your patience. And, you know, like we shared the last episode, we are welcoming our new listeners, old listeners, reoccurring listeners. And we hope you continue to listen with us. And this episode, we are talking about Black History Month. Part two. And so we are excited for that. But like Gabby said, it was President's Day yesterday and it was Valentine's Day weekend. I keep saying it's the weekend of love. And my goal is to be an example of love 365 days a year. So it was, you know, it's still a great weekend to, you know, celebrate with your loved ones. One of my favorite things is that Logan, so during COVID, I haven't been able to hug or kiss my grandma since last February.
Oh my God.
And so me and Logan surprised her, and he was able to give her a hug, and it brought so much joy to me. So, you know, Logan and Reggie got me flowers, and that was nice, but that was the most joy that it brought to see the joy of my grandmother's face. And Logan was so happy and so loving, and so to be able to give that to her was just priceless. It was like I was hugging her 365 days, like consistently watching the joy on her face, that it just brought tears to my eyes. Because Gabby knows how much my grandmother means to me.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. And you know, people need that right now. I think this was a very important Valentine's Day because this is the first since like COVID really, really hit. You know what I mean? I mean, COVID was around, but like it wasn't necessarily shutting the world down in February. So this is the one where it's, I think it matters. Like everybody needed a little bit of extra love and affection and attention on that day. So I'm glad you got that.
Yes. When you were just living your best, beautiful life.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. I spent mine on a boat. That's my own version of, you know, showing some like Valentine's love. It was self-love, I guess. I don't have a Valentine, but I had a really good time. We, you know, I'm out here in Brazil right now, and Kristen's been dealing with my like connectivity issues when it comes to the internet in Brazil. However, we were out in a very remote area of Brazil on a boat, and it's got to be one of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful areas I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's like just jungle paradise out here.
Wow.
But yeah,
such a great, great thing to be able to do that in. Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm glad that you got that self-care and with your newfound friends there too. You know, not everyone is lucky to be somewhere and meet some amazing people that just bring joy to them. So I'm glad you were able to do that.
I have been adopted. Yes, I have been adopted by multiple people out here. We had dinner the other night and I was like, okay, like we have a group chat now going on. And I was like, who's coming to dinner? By the time the group chat was done, I was like, let me get this straight. We have a reservation. We need a reservation for 16. Is that what you're telling me? I was like, I don't even remember the last time I did a reservation for 16 in New York.
But wow. Hey.
So, but it's great because I really feel that I'm making connections and like actually friends that I will keep in touch with. And to be honest, it just feels like a blessing from above because when you're here in a different country and you actually kind of meet up with people who are also here, they want to connect. They want to make that friendship and reach out. And I haven't felt that in a while just because of COVID. So it's just been such a blessing in disguise for me down here. I just wanted to say
that. For sure. Especially for someone that lives in a state where there's no family there, right?
Right.
So you being able to have this connection that you haven't been able to have this
in a while,
2020. So
speaking of connection and like where family is, y'all got some snow out there. Am I right?
Yes, Indiana. Reggie, I'm tired. I'm not going to front you guys this morning. I was watching my husband shovel and it was just like, wow. I mean, we got a lot of snow. I mean, I don't think it was bad as Texas, but
I was gonna say, Texas is like 17 degrees. My sister lives in Houston and she lost power. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Everyone I know lost power. My mother-in-law, one of my mother-in-law and my father-in-law both were out of electricity, and theirs came back. So they were going to, when people are like, you can't even go to a hotel because no one has it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how serious it is.
Yeah,
but, you
Texas
know,
isn't ready. Indiana's more ready for stuff because we deal with those kind of things,
yeah,
that weather, but like, not,
Texas.
Not Texas.
Everywhere got it, it seems like, across the United States in some shape or form, even the areas that normally don't. But, you know, it just allows us. So I think, you know, today I'm going to keep Logan home because no one wants to go out in the snow and I don't know how the roads are.
Right. And so, you know what? That weather happens in February. But you know what else happens in February, Chris?
What else?
Black History Month. Burr, 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 burr.
Oh, we were all in sync there. How cute is that?
All right, guys, this is part two of our 2-episode dedication to Black History Month. We definitely could not fit it into one. And to be honest, we could do a lot more than 2 episodes, like a lot more. But we are dedicating the whole month of February to Black History Month. And this episode is part two. We also discussed on our last one, but this one we wanted to touch on more of the theme that the ASALH has actually set for February 2021's Black History Month, and that is the Black Family Representation, Identity, and Diversity. And what that means is it explores the spread of Black families and identities across the United States, and a lot of the contributions that we enjoy every day and experience are from Black inventors or Black teachers, and they don't get properly recognize their achievements, their contributions. So a lot of the theme has to do with their identity and their representation in our society and how it's shifted and changed over the years.
Yes, for sure. And just some reminder of what Black History Month is. Again, it starts February 1st, but here on Uncomfortable Conversations with Chris and Gabby, we celebrate and amplify Black voices 365 days a year. And so we are very adamant about that, but what we're doing during February is going even harder, right? And so Black History Month is an annual celebration of achievements by African Americans and a time for us to recognize their central role in the U.S. history, also known as African American history. This event grew out of the Negro History Week and brainchild of a noted historian, Carter G. Woodson, and other prominent African-Americans. So since 1976, every U.S. president has officially designated the month of February as Black History Month. Other countries around the world also celebrate, Canada and the United Kingdom, and they devote a month to celebrate Black history. And so although 1 month is not enough, and we strive to continue to amplify Black voices through our Black business of the episode, we're excited to just talk about the theme this year and how it's impacted us and like some of the things that ASALH has shared with us.
Yes. And just to reiterate, guys, ASALH was our Black business of the episode last episode. And we're going to continue that promotion and dedication and praise to them for this episode because it's noted, it's needed, and it's owed. They
yes.
do so much work within the community. They are actually the founders of Black History Month. They set the theme every year, and their website is so much information and so many different virtual events that you can join, and lots of great ideas of how you can actually celebrate with your family, with your children, with your wife, with your girlfriends, like so many different ways to celebrate. And you just have to register online. We've definitely been promoting them on our Instagram page. We will continue to promote them throughout the next 2 weeks, but definitely check them out. Donate if you can. There's all the money goes to how they are able to create and disperse more information about the history and the heritage of the African American struggle and life.
Yes, definitely. And again, like Gabby said, the theme is Black family representation, identity, and diversity. So you all know I'm so excited to talk about this. And when
she's got that Black boy joy.
Yes, exactly. And when I think about my life, one of the big instrumental things of who I am today is due to my family and the role my family has played. And Gabby and I were just talking about when you think of Black family, and you think about when it comes to the media, how Black family representation matters. And I told her, like, growing up, I think about how the Cosbys, I know there's controversies because of the recent events, but growing up for me, the Cosbys family show was like something that I always was like, I can aspire to this. There's a lawyer and a doctor, and yeah, you don't see that all the time, you know?
It was one of the only ones. It was one of the only ones that actually showed that.
Yes, and it just kind of thinking about the shows that you are, Family Matters, like that was another one, right? And so when we think about now...
Oh, The Winslows. I forgot about the... I love The Winslows.
I was just watching that on one of the Prime, I think it's Prime. They have like all the different... So another great thing that I love is that a lot of the like Netflix, Hulu, Prime are showcasing a lot of our great shows. And so it's like nostalgic to think about those memories. But when you think of back family, you know, representation matters. And I think about the media's role in that, right? And some of the companies that have got backfires because of how things look. If you sit and think about it, often when you see black families, you see a mother and their child, and you don't see necessarily them.
The family unit.
Yeah, a family unit. Or also because, you know, people have now.
Or a thriving yes. family unit. You know what yes. I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not just that. The other thing, too, is because when you don't see it, sometimes you don't believe it, right? And so if you grow up in an environment where maybe you don't see, you know, two-parent households, and then you don't see that in media, then it kind of gives you a perception. But then, you know, what I love is that companies like Macy's are shifting that, right? So Macy's, I love now, one of the things, not only do they show a black family, but they also show a black family that represents the LGBTQ plus community. So you may see, you know, so that's something that people are seeing too. So they're again normalizing the conversation for the black community and LGBTQ plus, but also the black community in a two-parent household. Target's also been doing a really good job of that. So pay attention to those companies that you're shopping with and seeing, like, are they showing diversity amongst families on their ads? When you're in the store, like their ads within the store. I definitely pay attention to that. And I definitely pay attention to where I'm spending my dollars and who I'm shopping with, because that's really important for me. And so, again, another great show that I love now that I think does really well is Black-ish, which has evolved to Grown-ish, mm-hmm. which is Mixed-ish. And I think this is a really good example, which we'll tie into a little later, just about identity and diversity, because on Black-ish and Grown-ish and Mixed-ish, you know, it shows the different levels and the different way that someone can identify. So, yeah, you know, Gabby.
Optics yes. matter.
Yes, they do.
So Chris and I like to kind of obviously like review our topics before we, you know, record this podcast. And when we had this discussion, I was telling her how just the fact that, again, optics matter. And what that means to me is that when you're able to visualize something, when you're able to actually see it manifesting in front of you and you start to normalize that vision, then it also normalizes within society. Society yeah. accepts it. Society thinks that it is a norm. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we see a thriving black family on TV, like what she was saying about the Cosby Show was so innovative on so many levels for its time. But I understand the controversy now. We're not talking about now, I'm talking about then. But when she was a lawyer, a doctor, a successful family full of, you know, love and everyone's in school and thriving, that was not shown. That was not mm-hmm. shown. That was something that they actually spearheaded. And I'm glad that it's continually, I'm glad that optic has, that started the optic. And so whenever I first saw a lesbian couple on a commercial, I remember just being like a little bit like, oh wow, because it was the first time I'd seen it.
Yeah,
and so
but
now the optic has normalized, mm-hmm. and because it's like showing continually, and that's what it's important to do, is continue to support the companies that are making initiatives to normalize that optic.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And that kind of leads into just thinking about, you know, black representation, right? And normalizing the black experience and the representation power in top roles. Like, you know, that kind of leads to just thinking about that. So going into representation, when you think about some of the organizations you may work with, do you see black people visible at the top, right? And if you don't, what is your company doing or implementing to see that change?
And if you don't, what are they doing to amplify the Black voice within your company? Do they care? Yeah. Does it matter to them?
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, your job revolves around a lot of this. Kristen is a book of knowledge when it comes to this topic.
Yes. And I tell people, diversity and inclusion started for me as a young age because I knew what it felt like to feel excluded. And so because of my race, so I made it a point to my whole life to never let anyone know what that feels like if I'm in the room. And so now that I do this as a diversity, equity, and inclusion leader, it's important for me to really educate and bring awareness and hold my company accountable and hold other companies accountable. When I think about, thinking about seeing myself, Kamala Harris and then Roz, who just recently is now will be becoming the CEO of Walgreens. It's sad that she's the only Black woman that is a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And we were here 10 years ago and we're here again and it's still one, but I feel a different energy and I have to celebrate those that are able to achieve that, to know that I can achieve that. And so I was telling Gabby how I'm so really, really like this organization called Executive Leadership Council. They're on LinkedIn, they're on all social media channels, and I saw someone post them on LinkedIn and then I just was like started following them. And one thing I love is that, again, they're normalizing the conversation of having Black representation in leadership. So anytime a Black person is in a leadership role in an organization, they honor them and recognize them. And so that's how I'm learning. Like if a Black person's put on a board for a company, they recognize them and they recognize people before it even comes out. Like, I'm just like, oh, wow, how do they know this? And it's so exciting to go look under the comments of people that are encouraged and inspired to see them and people sharing, like, I've watched your journey. I've watched you fight for this. Thank you for not giving up because now I can't give up. Ooh, gives me chills hearing that.
Yeah, representation matters. When you see someone that looks like you in a position of power and they're fighting for that and they're promoting others, I mean, you feel a certain way about it. You see someone that you can actually connect with and it makes you know that you can achieve that too. It makes you know that there are people out there pushing and breaking those glass ceilings. When I see a woman, in a position of power or a strong woman in a leadership role, I get chills because I'm just like, yes, get it, girl.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a different sense. And even within my organization, it felt good when my Black employees reached out to me and sent me notes like, you've given me hope. I've never seen someone, with so much visibility within our organization that is Black. So I know change is coming. And so my whole goal and purpose in life is to be the change I want to see. I can easily sit back and say, this isn't working, but now what am I doing to change that? And using my voice to change that. And so I'm grateful that I have a voice that is heard because sometimes people's voices of color, especially Black people, aren't. And so listen to our Black women, listen to our Black men and support. And so moving on to the next section they talk about is Black identity and Black diversity.
Wait, I want to make one little comment. Have you watched, I'm obsessed with the show. I just finished it, but have you watched any of the show, The Queen's Gambit?
I have not. I tried to, I need to try again. I got to episode 2. People say, once you make it past 3, you're okay. I was struggling with the first 3 episodes, but they say once you get past it, but I need to, because I heard
it was intense, but there was a line that stuck with me and I meant to like bring this up to you, but it was, she has a very close friend that she grew up with, that is Black, and they basically come back together later in life. And she's telling her how she's, going to college. She wants to get a degree in sociology and philosophy or something. And her friend is very impressed, like, good for you. And she said, listen, because she was teaching sports. And she looked at her and she said, I want to change the world. And I can't do that if I'm just teaching white kids how to play racquetball. And I was like, yeah, that's the attitude you have to have. Like, you have to be the change that you want to see. If you want change to happen and nobody else is doing it, guess what? That means God's telling you, it's you, sweetie. you gotta do it.
Yeah.
And don't sometimes be scared.
And sometimes, they always say, don't try one time. You have to continue to try, right? To get and not give up. But sometimes it's taking a different approach of approaching things. So Yes. Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. Back to identity.
Yes. Yeah, so when we think about Black identity and Black diversity, I thought that, you know, ASALH did an excellent job of kind of talking about this and giving an example. So the 2021 theme calls attention to tapestry of other ethnic heritage and Black identities. So, for instance, Afro-Hispanic families. And I love the example they provided. The most notable examples are the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, because he is Kenyan and his white ancestry. And the current vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris, who's Jamaican and Indian in ancestry, is also part of her identity. So we are all Black families, but it's interesting to look at the different identities that are within our Black families and how people are identifying within their Black families and looking into their heritage.
It is so important to continually fight to uphold the importance of your heritage and not have anyone try to diminish or whitewash it. And the reason I say that is because Kristen, and as many, many, many other people do, you know, they make it a point to, it's the simplest of things, pronounce someone's name right. And when you, people are saying, I'll never forget, and I don't want to say his name out loud because I feel like, I don't know, but there's a reporter on Fox News and he had a whole segment where he was calling her Kamala, and they corrected him in a very polite, normal way. They're like, oh, I believe it's pronounced Kamala. He made this face like, oh gosh, here we go with the PC or the politically correct. And I'm like, and the guy was like, no, that's just how you say her name. And he made it this big deal. And I'm like, would you want someone mispronouncing your name day in and day out? Like, you obviously will correct her name. And that's a ethnic sounding name. And so for him to make a joke and try to take away some of that identity of her own, where it's literally the most basic thing we have that labels us, our name that our parents gave us, there's a meaning to it. And they want to diminish and belittle. Like, always, always, always fight for your identity. Don't be ashamed. Don't back down. And even if it's the simplest of how to pronounce your name, tell them. If they pronounce it wrong, it's on them. But you let it be known that that's who you are.
Yes. And, you know, I love that you say that. One of my friends, she's actually doing a whole segment on this, talking about pronouncing someone's name and the respect that is.
Right.
And so people don't realize it. And even simple things like people will do I-N and I'm like, you're looking at my signature. It's Ian.
Oh my gosh. And so yeah.
And I'm like, come on now. It's just the small things of just respect that it kind of shows up as. And then, but it's, you know, I also will correct and say, I'm the Ian the right way. You know, so, you know, it's so interesting for that. But, you know, again, thank you to ASALH. They have really been able to educate and bring awareness to Gabby and I, and we're happy that we're able to share this with you. So we hope that you follow them on your social media channels and that you support and that you amplify their voice, because what they're doing is truly being the change that they want to see, and they're not new to this, they're true to this. So thank you for that.
I like that. I might start saying that. Well, and the other thing, guys, is we wanted to be sure and remember there's Black History Month is multifaceted. You know, there are so many different avenues and discussions and topics to go with. And one of the things that we touched on the last episode was kind of ties into Black identity and how there's been so many Black inventors, Black authors, Black scientists who don't get the necessary recognition for their contributions and their hard work. And obviously there's reasons for that. There's very sad reasons for that. And lots of times they go overlooked. And so part of something that's important to me to research as well is, you know, unknown Black inventions that we use every day that you have no idea was invented by a Black person, because it was invented during a time where recognition was not given. And right now, times have changed, and it's time that they get their dues. Whether they're in the grave or not, give them props. Let's clap. Let's do a round of applause for these people who dedicated their life to bettering society and were overlooked. That's sad to me. Mm-hmm. And
and imagine doing that in a time where you weren't even seen as a human.
Ooh, I know. Like, you're sitting there smarter than everyone in the room, and yet you someone either takes credit for your invention, or you just, your name doesn't go down in any book as the inventor at all. It's unreal. But I wanted to just be sure, and I found someone that actually really stood out to me, and it was my first time hearing his name, and I was kind of like, wow, I can't believe I've never heard of this man because of his, you know, contribution to society. So I just wanted to give a quick little props to Philip Emeagwali. And I actually looked up how to say his last name, so I did not fall into that category. Emeagwali, and he was actually born in Nigeria in 1954, and he is known as the Bill Gates of Africa. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard who the Bill Gates of Africa is. I hadn't, so I kept reading, but it is Philip. So basically, he was forced to drop out of school at 14. He came of age during like a brutal civil war time in Nigeria. So that alone is like a crazy life experience. You drop out of school because you have to help your family. But he still earned many advanced degrees, including a PhD in scientific computing. I mean, that's worlds above anything I've ever done, and all of my friends that I know.
In 19- I don't know anyone at that level.
Right? Yeah. That song, get on our level. Like, I can't. In 1989, though, he created the world's fastest computer. So not Bill Gates, not Elon Musk, not Dell, anybody that we've heard of. It was Philip Emeagwali. So, and he came about this idea because he was like studying nature, specifically bees, and he saw a honeycomb, and it made him, and he was watching the bees move around and how they had their own system, and it made him completely rethink how we process information when it comes to computer processing, you know. So he was able to he put this idea into computer science, and he was able to like somehow combine 65,000 different like lines of code to perform 3.1 billion calculations per second.
Wow.
And he won the Gordon Bell Prize for his application of this. And nobody else has ever done that. That's African American. So he achieved something that was just wild to me. And I'm like, how are we not learning about him? Why are we only, you know, stuff like this that drives me nuts. But I wanted to just give him that props, because I just found that massively, massively impressive.
Yes, and Philip, today, you know, we honor and celebrate such an amazing historian and part of our history. Again, you know, America history has benefited from the skills and the talents of people from every race, religion, and ethnic background, right, Gabby? Mm-hmm. So celebrating Black History Month is a way for Americans to express gratitude to members of the African-American Black community who've given our country so much and their achievements unrecognized for so long. So, Philip, yes. Again, we honor, we celebrate you. And Gabby, thank you for sharing and bringing, you know, the knowledge of what he was able to accomplish during 1954.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Again, guys, Black History Month is every month. It's not just February.
Yes, and, exactly.
What's that mm-hmm. meme that I love? It was like, you know, they were like, all the other months I'm Black. In February, I'm blackity black.
Black. I reposted that. Yes.
Yes, I love that.
You know
one.
What? For us, you know, Black History Month is every month, and we are here to help break the cycle of Black excellence and go widely unrecognized. And again, we're continuing to do that by recognizing our Black businesses of the episode and bringing to light such amazing talent that often is overlooked. And so we are just so grateful for you all spending this time with us. We are looking forward to talking with you all in another 2 weeks.
Yep.
And again, continue to amplify Black voices 365 days a year.
And enjoy the rest of Black History Month in February. And don't forget to log into the ASALH's website and see what kind of events and activities that you could participate in with your family. They have some great, great, great ideas. They even go as far as to include like culinary things, like food and tastings. I thought that was so cool. So enjoy the rest, guys. Go do some research. Find out some more unknown Black inventors. Read up about it. I promise you won't be disappointed. There's so much fascinating things that we don't know about the history of African Americans. So I'm glad that they have this month dedicated to it, even though we could do a lot more. But enjoy the next final 2 weeks of Black History Month, everybody.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. You guys again.
Bye-bye.